Let's turn to 2 John now. 2 John, I'm preaching particularly on verses 4 through 6. But since it's a short letter, I'll read a little more than that. I'll read the whole letter. It's so short, it's easy to pass by it, especially if you have one of those Bibles with itty-bitty print. It's right before Revelation, the last book of the Bible. 2 John. All right, let's hear God's word this morning. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in his teaching or in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Well, through his apostle, the apostle Apostle John, Jesus is calling us to a certain kind of life, to live in a certain way. He calls us to live a life of truth and of love. John first introduces these themes of truth and love in the first three verses, which we looked at last time, and now he calls us to walk in them. And I want to look at these three verses, verses 4, 5, and 6 in turn, and consider with you what it is Jesus is saying to us today. What it is that he wants us to walk in and why, that we might follow him and that we might trust him in these ways. So let's consider them. First, verse 4. Here in verse 4, John calls us to walk in the truth, and he does so by way of a praise, an encouragement. He says to the church, I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. The passage starts with a happy apostle. The apostle is rejoicing, even rejoicing greatly, because of what he has found in these Christian churches. He has found them walking in the truth. And you know what it means to walk in the truth in a general sense, right? It means to walk in reality. Right? If we walk in the truth, it means that we walk according to the way things truly are. We make choices, decisions based on what is really true about our situation, about our world. Just imagine an example. Imagine you go to an estate sale. You see it in the newspaper or something like that. And you go there, and the person has agreed to sell everything for $10,000, right? And you have to buy it all or buy nothing, but that's the price. And you get there, and it's all junk. Right, papers everywhere, piles of garbage, clothes that are worn out and dirty. Nothing really worth worth paying $10,000 for. But then you see in the corner the scroll of a violin. You pull out the violin, you look inside, and it says Stradivarius. And you think to yourself, is it truly a Strad? Right? Is it truly a Strad? Because if it is, buy the whole lot. You'll gain 100 times what you paid. But if it's not true, then you just bought a big headache for the next few months for $10,000. Right? What do you do? Right? It's a choice that you make, and you want to know what's true about this instrument. It's like that in every area of our life. A lot of times we don't think about it. This is just how we live. We live, we walk, and we walk in the truth. We walk in the truth that it's typically colder in the winter than it is in the summer, that the sun rises in the east, that this key opens this door and that key opens that door, and these are things that we don't even think about. We act constantly, act, 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 believe, believe, do, and relate, and all kinds of things based on things that we know are true, things that we intuitively even know are true, and we just go, we just walk. And those who do so often find a lot of success. They are walking with the grain of reality. And those that don't often find constant frustration. And we've all been there. We've all thought something was a good deal that turned out not to be a good deal. Thought someone was a good friend that turned out not to be a good friend. Thought one job or one situation and on and on and on was one thing and it turns out to be another, and that typically doesn't, sometimes there are nice surprises, right? It can work in a positive way. We can find out that, well, I had no idea this was so good, but still there's a sense of, well, why didn't I know this before? Right? To walk in the truth is good. But we'd be patting ourselves on the back a little too much if we only regretted our accidental mistakes of not knowing, of not walking in the truth. Because there's plenty of ways that we don't walk in the truth that are just totally on purpose. Now, you might say, that's crazy, and I would say, you're right. But that's what we do, isn't it? You remember how this all began. The classic example, the beginning of all this, is in the Garden of Eden. And Satan tempted us, and he says to Eve, did God really say? Right? He was encouraging her to act based on a questioning of the truth. What is really true? It's a core question, a fundamental question. And to people who are interested in staying away from God, walking in the truth becomes pretty elusive, difficult. Because God isn't a distortion and trickery. God is truth himself. And when we walk away from the truth of God, when we walk away from the truth of his word, and we do this for all kinds of reasons, some of which we confessed this morning in our praying, when we walk away from God and his truth, things get kind of crazy. And that includes both parts of God's revelation, I should mention, his law and his gospel. When it comes to God's law, when we walk away from God and his truth and we think, well, I don't need to obey it. It's not really that important. Or we think, I can obey it. I'm perfectly capable. In either of these ways, we end up fooling ourselves. We tend to ignore it, the law, that is. We tend to downplay it. God says this and this and this is true, and we say, well, maybe mostly I'm going to do this thing. Or not at all. Or we make it easier. God's law, his standard is way up here, and we say, that's too hard, so I'm going to bring it down here so that I can do it. These are ways in which we distort the truth of God's law, in which we distort our sense and our ability to keep that. And the same is true when it comes to the gospel. When it comes to the truth of the good news of God's revelation in Christ, that Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, we say, yes, for them, for the people that need it. Of course, not for me. Or we say, he's done that and I'll take it when it's time or when it's ready or when I'm ready. Or it's a good salvation, but not a great salvation. Or all kinds of things that we do. We take the gospel and we ignore it. We don't believe it. We think we can find our own paths and our own ways. We say, that's not really as believable as I want it to be. Jesus might be fine for someone else, but not as necessary for me. He's not necessary for me. My sins aren't that great. I'm not having that hard of a time. Well, to think things like that about the gospel, about the promises of God, is to not walk in the truth. To reject Jesus as the incarnate Son of God who came in the flesh to atone for our sins is to not walk in the truth. So you can see then why John is so happy, why he's rejoicing greatly. He's rejoicing greatly because here are people who did not walk in the truth. They walked in a distorted, strange reality. But now they walk in the truth. They walked according to God's mercy. They walked according to His grace and His peace. They had come to know the truth both in God's law and His gospel, and they lived in light of it. They'd come to walk in it. This is certainly worth cause for rejoicing. Imagine you had a friend, for example, who had lost his or her mind. A sad situation where they did not live in light of how things really are. It's a difficult situation. It's a frustrating situation. You hurt for them. Perhaps you yourself have experienced moments like that where you knew you were not thinking rightly about your world in just even the most basic sense. To be freed from that, to come out of that, to know things as they really are, that's worth a lot of rejoicing, isn't it? It's worth a lot of praise. And that's what John has experienced and seen in these people. They are now walking in the truth. Having seen that, now we come to verse 5. He talks to them and he asks, and he makes this request, we might say, to also walk in love. Having seen them walking in the truth, he now also calls them to walk in love. Now, this request doesn't mean that this is optional, I should say, that John asks, I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing a new commandment, but the one that we had from the beginning, that we will love one another. And when he asks her in this way, this ask is an expression of his gentleness. It's an expression of his respect. It's not, we're not to read this, in other words, as though this were, or, oh, he's just asking so I don't have to do this. Kids, you know about this, right? When your parents say, sweetheart, I'd like to ask you to unload the dishwasher, the proper response is not, no, thank you, right? The proper response is, yes, of course, right? It is asked as a request in gentleness, not as a request in options. And that's the spirit in which John means it here. And we know that because the command to love is all over the scriptures. It is, of course, called a command. And he says as much here in verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And so love is not an optional thing. And who wants it to be an optional thing, really? Who of us here wants to raise our hand and say, I'd like love to be optional in my life? Right? No, love is what we all want. Love is what we strive for. Love is what we want in our lives, in our families, in our communities. It's the disruption of that love that hurts so bad. And so John calls them to love one another. And he says it's an old command. It's one from the beginning. You might say that John is getting them back to basics, back to essentials. And by God's grace, the Spirit will do that for you today as well. It's easy to get off course. It's really easy to get off course. If I turn just one small degree this way, it won't look like I'm walking in that different of a direction for about one step. But then the second step, the third step, and pretty soon I'm way far away from where I started. It's easy to get off course. It's easy to lose our way. And that's why it's so important to always be returning back to the essentials. To hear a command like love one another and not go, oh yeah, I don't need to hear that, but love one another and go, I probably need to hear that. That sounds like one of those basic things that I need to be reminded of again. This is why we always return to God's word over and over and over again. We need that correction. This is one of the truths that he gives to us. I once found myself lost somewhere on Camelback Mountain up in Phoenix. And for those of you who know, this is a little ridiculous sounding because Camelback Mountain is right in the center of Phoenix, right? So it felt embarrassing to be lost there. I was heading down a path until, of course, I wasn't heading down a path. And I couldn't find my way back. I kept trying in different ways, and I found myself stuck on these boulders. And the only way I was able to get out of that mess was eventually getting back to basics. I was like, okay, I know that, and I know that, and I'll head those directions. And then slowly and surely, the Lord led me back to where I had come from. God's word does this for us. He calls us back by showing us the essentials. He gets us back by calling us here to love. It seems so simple, right? It's three words. Love one another. All right, we're done. Go home. Right? Very simple. But of course, we need reminders. Because there's lots of things that often keep us from loving other people. Even silly things like the way they look. Not going to love. Or harder things like the way they treated us one time. Or higher loves that we have, like love for comfort or love for ease. Or our fear for what people will think if we love them. The list is sad, and it goes on and on. But love is what we are called to do. And as John says in verse 6, this is love that we walk according to the commandments. Jesus says in Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, love God, love your neighbor, depend all the law and the prophets. Or consider Paul, Romans 13:10, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Or again, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But not love. Love never ends, he says. Why does John want them to walk in love? Why does John want it to permeate every action, every look, every word? Because that's God's command. That's his loving command. And it's the kind of life that he has brought us into through Christ, who, after all, first loved us. Through Christ, who fulfilled his Father's will, who obeyed the command of love so that we might be justified for all time, even though we didn't love as we ought. Brothers and sisters, we have been saved by love in order to love. This is why when we abide in God, John says in 1 John, we become those who love one another. When we abide in God through the grace that comes to us, the loving grace that comes to us in Jesus Christ, we become different kinds of people. We walk in a new way. We walk as those who love one another. In other words, if you are really abiding in the truth of Jesus Christ, then you will also abide in the love of Jesus Christ. This is God's grace, the complete package. He doesn't dole out little bits and parts. When he saves us completely in our hearts, in our minds. If we are really abiding in the truth, then we will also abide in love. And if you are really walking in the truth, you will also walk in love. Because where one is, the other is always there, as it is in God Himself. God, as all truth, is not, a giant brain or something like that. No, God is all truth. He knows all things. He speaks truly all things. He is the source of all things, and He is also love. These things are not sort of two separate things within God. He is fully both of these things, perfectly held in harmony together. And so when we are brought into a life in Him, we get the whole package. We get all truth. We get all love. We walk in that. We make our decisions, all the things that we do in this way. If you know the truth then, but you don't have love, well, maybe then you don't know the truth. Maybe you know it, but you don't walk in it, abide in it. Because is what he's saying here is those who walk in the truth also walk in love. As he goes on in verse 6, and now we're fully here in verse 6, he says, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. That we walk according to his commandments. So what we find when we come to verse 6 is that the reverse of what I just said is also true. So if we know the truth, then we also walk in love. Well, then if we walk in love, then we are also those who walk in truth. He says, this is the command, just as you heard from the beginning, that you walk in it. So the question is, what is it? What is the thing that we are to walk in? And he's just mentioned several things. It's a little bit ambiguous, and commentators disagree. There's three options. We can walk in love, the command, or the truth. You really can't go wrong with any of those in terms of living your life. And they're all so interrelated. But I do think that John means the truth when he says, walk in the truth. So the verse would read like this, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in the truth. I think there's a couple reasons for saying that he means the truth. One is that to say to walk in love or walk in the command would be to repeat exactly what he's just said, when it seems like John is developing his points more than emphasizing here. So it would seem to be a little redundant to say that. The second reason that is convincing to me is that verse 7, the next verse, transitions and talks about deceivers who have gone out into the world. And so if he is referencing truth at the end of verse 6, then it would create a tight connection with the next verse in verse 7. I find that convincing. And it pulls all of this passage together so that he's essentially saying love is walking according to the commands, and the command is that you walk in the truth. In other words, in this passage, Jesus is telling us that we must walk in truth and in love, and that to walk in love is to walk in the truth, and that to walk in the truth is to walk in love. So he's giving us both these actions to do, and he's showing us that to do both, or to do either truly, is to do the other. He's showing their relatedness to us, that we might not go astray, that we might not try and, let's say, get all of our theology right, but then not care for orphans and widows. Or that we might be active in service and busy all the time, but have it totally disconnected from the gospel, totally disconnected from the truth of Jesus Christ and his revelation. Because many deceivers have gone out into the world, he says, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. We are to avoid this error, and we are certainly not to hold it ourselves. And so as we see all of these things, as we hear this command, I want you to hear it as God commands it. I want you to see its beauty and its splendor. And most importantly, I want you to see it grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his person and in his work. As I've said, Jesus is the one who reveals the truth and love to God in the world. He is the one who reveals the truth and love of God from heaven, his law, of course, and his salvation. And when Jesus does that when he reveals that truth, he does so in perfect love. Love for his Father and love for us, even though we were unlovable. Beloved, Jesus' truth is brighter and his love is warmer than anything the world has ever felt or known. Nothing comes more than this. And when we go astray in either of these two ways, it's always because we disconnect them from Christ. It's always because we think that somehow, either in us or something around us, we can find truth or love on our own, in our own way. And when we do that, we elevate above the Lord. And things, of course, fall apart. Because that's not according to reality. It's not according to the way things are. So the good news for us is that God has revealed himself to us in this way, even through his death on the cross. God has spoken in the cross of Jesus Christ so clearly of his love, of his desire and his purpose and his plan and his accomplishment to save sinners from their sins, that we must believe him, that we must trust him, that we must walk in him. All real love, all real truth starts in him. He's the one who turns us away from our selfishness. He's the one that turns us away from our distortions and reality. He's the one that turns us towards himself. All praise and glory and honor be to the true and loving God. Amen.